Assembly Audible podcast is sponsored by Promus. Promus is the leading manufacturer of fully electric servo presses.
Hello and welcome to Assembly Audible. Every day, key players are working towards ushering in a new era of green manufacturing. How can we collectively tackle one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions and rebuild local manufacturing? Boston-based Surat Technologies, a manufacturing company that deploys 3D printing technologies, recently announced plans to open its first full-scale factory following commitments from three global manufacturers to produce 25 tons of key parts per year. That's 25 times the current production. Today, we're speaking with James DeMuth, Surat CEO and co-founder, about the energy-powered manufacturing era. James, welcome to Assembly Audible.
Jennifer, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so I guess to start with, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about Surat Technologies?
Absolutely. So, you know, we're a little over 7 years old. We're essentially a spin out of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in Livermore, California. Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, also known as Lasers, Nothing But Lasers. We have some lasers at the heart of what we do. A lot of experience and know-how in making, you know, lasers do some amazing things. You might have heard the recent news from Livermore on fusion energy breakthroughs with ignition. The laser systems that we are essentially, that are at the core of what we do, are essentially derived from those systems that were essentially built and driven for doing that breakthrough development work that's been going on for the last, you know, decade plus at the National Labs. We saw an interesting opportunity where we could leverage the technology that it was developed for fusion and apply that to the additive manufacturing process to effectively unlock breakthroughs and scalability to allow us to have incredibly high throughput rates and print rates while maintaining quality. And when you scale, there's incredible economics that you can get from a unit basis that when you go bigger, you can take advantage of. And that's exactly and precisely what we're leveraging and our major breakthrough that we're bringing to market.
The foundation of this podcast was a press release where you announced your first full-scale factory. Is that correct?
Yeah. So let me set the stage.
Okay, perfect.
We build our own lasers. We actually build our own printers, but we don't sell them. We operate them as a contract manufacturer. Okay. And so we are deploying our first pilot factory, which will house three machines, be capable of printing 25 metric tons of metal a year for an average part. It actually could do more depending on how well it's tuned to our process. And that's a lot of metal. And it's kind of one of the, you know, going to be one of the biggest producing facilities, even though it only has three machines globally. Again, this is just the tip of the iceberg for us. We've gotten more demand through those letters of intent that far exceeds actually the capacity of that factory. And we're already doing essentially leasing and taking out space for our full-scale factory, which will be deployed, capable of housing close to 30 machines, about 100,000 square feet, and 500 metric tons a year of production. So even bigger things are coming soon. Our pilot factory will be fully deployed by the end of 2023, and various machines will be coming online through 2023 to start meeting those production demands of our customers.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm sure this must be really an awesome development for Boston, just in general, on economic growth, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got big plans to bring on board lots of folks to, you know, not only operate machines and operate factories, but, you know, work with customers on, you know, tuning parts to the next generation of, you know, print capabilities, designs and whatnot that essentially take us to the next stage of manufacturing.
That's fantastic. Okay, so how does the new additive manufacturing process work?
So we are based on a technology that uses lasers and essentially focus those lasers to, you know, historically has focused those lasers to very small spots on a thin layer of metal powder, right? You then scan that laser around and wherever the laser is hitting, it's essentially welding a thin layer of metal powder to whatever's below it, generally the previous layer. That process historically, it's been around since like the late 1970s, in theory and practice since the 1990s. It hasn't changed much. In general, all that's happened is, you know, machine manufacturers have added more lasers. And this somewhat scales it up, makes it go a little bit faster, but doesn't get you to that next level in terms of an economics perspective. So what we do differently is we generate these really high power laser pulses, and then we embed a pattern into the beam. And so the resolution that we can print with is dictated by the pixel size in that pattern, not by the overall size of the beam itself. And so we can have incredibly high throughput rates and still have incredibly high precision and quality at the same time. And that is critical, right? To break into conventional manufacturing, you need speed, you need quality, and you need cost. And they all need to happen at the same time if you want to compete with conventional manufacturing techniques like machining, like casting, and like forging that exist today and have existed for, you know, hundreds to thousands of years.
What would you say is like the current state in general of additive manufacturing? It's so becoming so advanced. Is that a correct observation? I mean, it's or customized. Is that a better word? What would you say is like some general trends or growth patterns right now?
I mean, I think the market is trying to grow. It wants to grow. Everyone knows it needs to grow. It just has problems growing, and that's kind of holding it back. It's a giant tidal wave of opportunity and possibility, but right now we're getting to a point where there's nothing supporting it. And you have, you've got a lot of potential, but actually getting to that next level from a cost perspective is extremely hard. And that's exactly the problem that we're looking to tackle. So, you know, what we see is that essentially the parts that are made today are high value, low volume applications. They're either prototypes or it's the Bugatti brake caliper, right? It's not the Honda Civic brake caliper or the Ford Focus brake caliper, right? And so that's the problem, right? We're not getting to the price points that are needed for mass production to really make additive be broadly and widely used, right? Plastics, it's a slightly, you know, a little more penetration. Metals, it's tough because it's tough to get high quality parts made through metal, made with metal parts, made with metal. So really to do that, you need to have control. Metal is a tricky beast, right? The actual strength, the material properties really have a huge dependency on how that is processed. And to really have control over it, you need to fully melt the metal and then get it to solidify in the way that you need it to you know, meet your applications. So technologies that aren't doing a full melt, like binder jetting, right? They're not resetting the crystal structure. They don't reset the material properties, and you end up with weaker, lower resolution, and less applications that material can, be used for. And so the best solution we saw was use a full melt technology, but then scale it big. And so that's kind of where the industry has had issues and where we're looking to fill in the gaps.
So how is your process different from existing additive manufacturing processes?
Right. So essentially, the way your typical laser-based process would work is you're essentially shining 1 to 12 lasers onto a thin layer of metal powder, right, and scanning them around. Problem is, when a laser interacts with the metal powder, you know, it's making a little weld pool, but it doesn't just weld it. They're trying to go as fast as possible, which means they generally are overdriving the systems. And so they're trying to move on. The speed at which they print with is dictated by how fast can they move on to the next pixel, and the next, and the next, and the next. They're essentially doing single pixel printing, right? Printing one after the other as they scan these laser beams around. And that means they're overdriving the system, and they're not just heating up the metal. They're not just melting it. They're actually heating up to its boiling point or beyond. And like, boiling water makes steam. Boiling metal makes what looks like black soot, and black soot absorbs laser light really, really well. So you end up getting diminishing returns as you add more lasers to the system. Nonlinear math where 1 + 1 = 1.5 instead of 2, and you don't get to where you want to go. And so what we do, it's a bit different, is that we embed this high resolution image inside of the laser beam. The resolution is dictated by a pixel and not by the overall beam itself. So when you essentially, we stamp it down to the powder bed, we print, essentially it's a massively parallel process, right? We're printing effectively millions of pixels at a time, which is approximate to like millions of lasers operating in parallel. And so it's a massive scale up from where we are today with like, you know, 1 to 10 operating in parallel. We're talking 100, we're not talking 1,000, we're not talking hundreds of thousands, we're talking multiple millions of pixels in parallel every shot. And then we're firing these shots 40 times a second. So each shot is about 1 centimeter area, so 10 millimeters on the side, and essentially stamp, right? It stamps an area in the metal. And then you repeat that again and again and again. You can kind of liken the historical technology is like writing a letter with a pen. We're like the printing press.
Okay, so why are automotive OEMs backing the company? Well, I think you kind of just explained the answer, right, to this question. But yes, please.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think a lot of it's about who's been served so far today and who's still hungry. The aerospace and medical industries, they've been somewhat satiated by additive technology today. 3D printing has met their needs. They have a higher willingness to pay, and the technology is expensive today. And so they're okay with that. They also have a long qualification timeline. So when you qualify a part for for medical or aerospace, it's a lot of investment, and then you want to stick with it for a long time, right? Automotive hasn't been able to access additive because it's just been out of reach from a cost perspective. It's, yeah, there's benefits of additive, but they're not good enough to make it worth the while, right? And so what we're enabling is we're enabling that floor to drop, right? Those price points to come down, and all of a sudden, additive is a viable solution. And now that's something that, you know, the automotive industry is very interested in. But it's not just automotive, it's consumer electronics, it's energy, it's a whole slew of different industries that have not been able to leverage the benefits of additive widely because the price points have been too high. And we're able to change that.
Why use green energy?
Well, at a high level, right, we're all on this planet together. So when you have an opportunity to do something that I think can make the world a better place, I think you got to take it and do it. So at a high level, we see that we have a unique opportunity to electrify the manufacturing process. Now, historically, you look at the different three major manufacturing techniques that exist out there for conventional manufacturing. You got machining, you got casting, and you got forging. Casting is like 20% of the manufacturing market and pretty much primarily driven by fossil fuels, right? You just need a cheap energy source to heat up metal, melt it, and pour it into a mold. There you go, right? It's been around for thousands of years. We see an opportunity to compete with casting on a per cost basis while using green energy. So we can make our parts cheaper than they can and do it in a way that is green. So that's one aspect.
Yeah.
Another aspect here, machining, it's like 45% of the manufacturing market. When you're talking about machining, generally, machining is a subtractive process, right? You take a mill, you take a lathe, you're cutting away material from your starting block, right? And when you're doing that, you essentially are scrapping 60 to 80% of your starting material. That's 60 to 80% of the starting material that never needed to be made in the first place. And I think as we become acutely aware of, there are a lot of emissions that are associated with making that material to start with. Like steel is like 2 tons of CO2 per ton of metal. Stuff like aluminum and titanium is like 10, right? And so if you just don't have to make that metal in the first place, you can make a lot less material, have a much smaller starting feedstock, and get the same number of parts out at the end of the day. And that's only possible with an additive process like our area printing technique to be able to do that at scale.
Wow, that is great. Thank you so much. Okay, so to part with, do you have any 2023 predictions for the manufacturing industry?
Well, I tend to look a little further into the future than just 1 year out. 2023, I think we're gonna see, you know, probably more machine players come onto the market. We're going to see more materials. It's going to be some incremental stuff, right? Selfishly speaking, of course, I've got insight into where we're going and what we're doing. And our vision is change the world of manufacturing. So that's obviously going to be a big part of my prediction. But, you know, I think what we're looking at is the ability as we move forward, you know, through the rest of the decade here to see additive processes really take a big stand in the manufacturing market and really start to become applicable to a whole slew of different applications. Our goal personally is to make additive and really make hardware manufacturing as cheap and as simple as it is to program and code, right? And so program and software, right? So it's when you can do that, I think you're going to see an explosion of applications. And that's exactly what we're looking to enable, is those new capabilities, those new applications, which frankly, we probably can't even think of and predict today. We just don't know. It's like, you know, in 1908, how could you predict the car market in 2000, right? You just would have no idea when you're dealing with horses and buggies as opposed to the automobile. I think we're sort of before, and we don't know what's going to happen in the after. And that's going to be an exciting future to help create.
Sure. Okay, so how can our listeners learn more about Surat Technologies?
Obviously, follow us on social media, come visit our website. We have a ton of job postings. There's continually more up there. There's probably like another 24 that we haven't posted yet that we're still, that are in the works. Come join us, follow us. And yeah, we'd love to have you and join the cause and change the world of manufacturing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
This has been Assembly Audible. I'm Jennifer Pierce, multimedia editor, signing off. Make sure to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and especially LinkedIn for the latest from Assembly Magazine.